Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. I don't like being sharpened. Well, we love the finished result. You can't get the finished result unless there's interaction with somebody who loves you enough to say, I love you more than, and see, and I love you enough to see your final destiny and you get there than you liking me. That's what moms and dads are supposed to do, and usually they do. And it's changing, though. Can you see it? It's changing. It's just a family atmosphere starting to come along. It's like Paul said to the in the epistles, he said, you have many, many teachers come through. Many instructors, as the King James calls it. But I am your father. Instructors come, teach, and leave, like Ray Hughes. You're going to come, you're going to get blessed, you're going to leave. But fathers are going to be there in the next week when you have tragedy. Or be there the next week when you need some help or wisdom.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
And I tell you, is that dynamic's starting to happen in a church. See, most Americans now approach churches by what does it have for me? It's the wrong question. It's very selfish. It's very egocentric, and it needs to be broken, and it will be. When do we go to Jesus and go, what do you have for me? We go of repentance and we say, I am a sinner and I am going to hell without you. And I need you. You see the difference? It's a slight difference, and it comes from our capitalistic system that's based on marketing, advertising, and consumerism. And it's bleeding over into the church. When you get saved, we said, Father, where do you want me to go? I am your servant. Who do you want me to hang around? Who do you want me to be with? There is a major repositioning that's already starting to happen, but it's a very small percentage. But I'm telling you, over the next several decades, it's going to be huge. We, by and large, as Christians, pick where to live based on our careers or where we want to. And then when we go, we ask God to help us find a church that we can be a part of. It's obvious when you say it that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been here 20 years. I've worked for 4 companies. One time I was laid off about 5-6 years ago. I don't remember. Sometimes I'd have to do the math. Like I said, I'm only on 3 cylinders today. Me and Brian was at this company. He was wise enough to leave. I got laid off before. And it was hard to find a job. I didn't work for almost 6 months. There were jobs in other cities that I would have had to move to. But God had already shown me this is where my family is. And sometimes I hear it a lot when I go to conferences. Like in May, I'll go back to the Morningstar conference. There's just no church in my city. Let's be blunt here. 2 things are happening. 1, you're to start it, or 2, you're in the wrong place. Because if God led you there, there's a family there for you. Maybe you need to try harder to find it. Our first thing is, Lord, where do we belong? What family are we in? What tribe we're in? Now, over time, that can change. I mean, for a long time, I was in Augusta. That can change. But God, your maturity and your purpose and your fulfillment is going to be through these covenant relationships and connections. We've seen Brian. We merged back in the summer with a company out of Washington, D.C. They're basically doing the same thing that we're doing in principle, helping startup companies get some equity out of it, charge less if you got equity. But it's really taken off the last 4 or 5 months, and for this one reason, connections. And we get our connections by the people that we're around. It's a big deal. God can just bring something out of the sky to you in a miracle, and he does do that. But most of the way he works is it's not good for man to be alone. And it breaks my heart. So many Christians are depressed. I'm not talking about here. You guys are all right. A plus is going on. We're talking generally. Sometimes talks are for us. Sometimes they're for the body as a whole. But there's so many depression, so much loneliness. In the age of connectivity with Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagrams, people are lonelier than ever, even in churches. So this structure itself is not enough. In the New Testament, you'll see churches used many places, but there's actually two Greek words underneath it that it should be translated differently. One of them is ecclesia, which means the structure of the church, the elders, the deacons, the programs, the times. And another one is koinonia, the fellowship. And in America, we're pretty good at the structure. But God's wanting to bring back the koinonia. Koinonia is sharing your life with one another and the fellowship with one another. Can y'all see that?
Yes.
And so I'm excited because I'd much rather belong to a family like you guys than a doctrinal statement that we give out.
Amen. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Then when the world sees that, they want to be a part of that. Because family is a forgotten concept in this society. We've gotten family so screwed up with all the gender issues and the marriage different things. You know, I'm all for having biblical marriage definitions. I'm not against that, make it into law. But you know, in the end, us as Christians, if we develop loving families, loving as much as you can in churches, and a loving man and wife, I'm telling you, it doesn't require a law for them to come back to that.
Amen.
Because they're going to go, that's works, and I need that. I need stability. What about wounding? We touched on this last month. Right now, there's so many studies that prove this, and I believe it's true, that there's more Christians that don't go to church now than or in church. And in many ways, I can't blame them, because it is most of the time very boring. It is just a structure of no koinonia. But I'm here to tell you, God's changing that. God is changing it, or He's not going to be God. And when I talk to people that don't come, they're typically fall into two categories. They see all the bad, so they don't want to be a part of it. And I've been there, and I dropped out of church totally for 2 years in my 20s because I just saw how messed up it was. And then one day, God just sort of grabbed me. One of those words, you know, it's from God, because couldn't have been you. He goes, Craig, you're really not doing me any good sitting over here feeling sorry for yourself with a self-righteous attitude about what's not happening. Get up and do something about it.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Ooh, when you see the bad, that's the easy part. Then you push into God and say, you have created me to make a difference. You have shown me what is happening so that we know what to overcome. Now give me wisdom, strategy, and ideas how to move forward and replace it instead of just watching this thing be an idol in a temple saying how great Satan is. And we're preaching hard today, aren't we? I'm sorry. Just three cylinders. The fourth cylinder must be the easy part. The other part is people that have been wounded. And believe me, it's universal. If you've been in church any time, you've been wounded. Why? If you've been married any time, you've been wounded. If you've been in a job any time, you've been wounded. If you've had friends anytime, you've been wounded. If you've had kids anytime, you've been wounded. If you're a kid, when you were a kid, you were wounded. You think it just happens? It happens because we're people.
Yeah, I was about to say
that. The difference is we say, right now, say James ticks me off. James, I really don't like what you're saying. As a matter of fact, I don't want to do anything with you right now. But I'm committed. Let me just go off and cool off for 2 weeks and then we'll talk. That's what you got to do. And you may even come back and say, you know, what you said about this area I don't even agree with, but we'll agree to disagree. You know, that sounds just like marriage. Sounds just like kids. Somewhere we've gotten this attitude that the church is to be perfect. It's not going to be any more perfect than you and I are perfect. Because we're human. But it's okay. Because we're family.
Hallelujah. Come on.
It's okay. Because we're not centered around doctrinal issues. I mean, there are some basics like who Jesus is and how you get saved and some things like that that define who you are as a Christian. You can still come even if you're a Muslim, but we're probably not Christian brothers. And as we do that and the world sees that, and it's happening here. How many of you have been here long enough? You see that happening here. A covenant or community that goes deeper than this. As you see it, the world's, they're hungry for this. Now the challenge is I get to know Tony over here and he gets to know me. Guess what? Even though I'm a pastor here, every once in a while I have weaknesses. How many of you have ever, this is nothing in my notes, so I hope it's ministering to somebody today. But how many times I guess because I've been in leadership so long, they go, church was great till I got to know the leaders. Have you ever experienced something like that? Guess what? James is just like you. I'm not. I've got it all together. The problem is when you get to know leaders, you're going to realize they're just like me, and that's good because I'm no different than you. I just have a different, I have a gift to teach. You have a gift in another area. We're not any more spiritual. See, my gift, because I've done it long enough, unless you knew me real well or was real praying in the Spirit, I could get up here and be totally in the flesh and do it pretty good, and unless you knew me real well, you wouldn't even know I was in the flesh. Is that hard? And God can still anoint what he can, because his word comes about, his word is not returned void. And y'all are all going to see in the flesh right now as guys. But see, I'm encouraged by it. Most people look at these statistics and see all these people dropping out. I'm encouraged by it. Because they're fed up with just ecclesia. They're fed up with just the structure. We're being set up for a revival. We're being set up for something different, because you don't change until you're fed up with what you have. So I'm encouraged by it.
Hallelujah. That's a good word right there.
Because God is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back for a pure white bride. Right. Not for a perfectly organized church. And if you're a pure white bride, that means we've worked on purity. We've worked on our thoughts. We've learned to take thoughts captive. We've gotten deliverance. We're starting to walk in the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, etc. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're white. That means we're walking in His righteousness. He's coming back for a changed bride. And for some reason, I need you and you need me to help facilitate that change. Because this is what I tend to do. I know y'all don't tend to do this. I always see the weaknesses in others and the strengths in me. Is anybody else that way?
No.
And so I need you to be close enough in love to say, Craig, here's your weaknesses. And I usually won't like to see them. But if I know that you really care about me more than just being enamored with me, I'll see your heart and the Lord can start working on it. Now, we don't need any Old Testament prophets coming and judging and dooming and saying this weakness, if you don't take care of it, God's lightning's going to strike on you. That's not family. That's craziness, you know. It's just a religious spirit. But God is coming back for a pure white bride. Now, listen to me. He's not coming back till she starts looking like that. Whatever your end times is, whether you're a futurist, you're a preterist, you're a historist, whatever, okay, there's four major times. He's not coming back till we start looking like that. I don't know if we have to be totally finished. I can't figure all that out. But we got to start looking like that. But most of our theology is to hang on until he comes back. And what will happen is, if with that thinking, Jesus Christ comes back, he's sitting there to marry his bride, and he's looking down at a pile of body parts. He's going, I see Joe the fingernail over there, and Marianne the artery. And he turns to the father, goes, where's the bride? That's your bride. Well, they're scattered all over the place, and they're body parts, and nobody's connected to anybody else. You get the analogy? The problem with community and covenant is it's the best of times, as Leo Tolstoy says in War and Peace, and it can be the worst of times. It's just like marriage. Marriage is the ultimate covenant. It can be the best of times, and it can be the worst of times. But this is what I'm going to tell you. It's better than any other alternative that's out there.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
It's, yes, sir. And so I'm excited because he is raising up a pure white bride.
Yes, sir.
That's connected and knows their place.
Yes.
Now think about this by the very definition. If you're connected, that means there's something on each side of you, which is a person.
Amen.
That's a simple principle that we won't just get by looking at the back of the heads of somebody around us. Well, I didn't look at my notes, but that's good. Let's stand. Amen. I like you guys. Now, see, this is in the Bible, I have to love you if I'm in the Spirit. I don't have to like you. Never, nowhere does it say I have to like Brandon. I just have to love him, which means I do the best for him, all that love means. But, you know, I actually like you guys. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you. They're on the path to maturity. They're on the path to a full white bride. And they if they're not already, they may be living it out. If they're not already, then you're figuring out, you're showing them who's supposed to be on each side of them. Who they're to be connected with. They have their physical family, but there's also a spiritual family, and in the best of worlds, it's both. But Jesus, you had Mary, you had some of your cousins, but it says even in John 9 that even your brothers didn't believe in you. So sometimes a spiritual family can be even closer than a physical family. And Father, I pray for the destiny of every person here. I pray that they find it, live it out, fulfill it, and they find a group of comrades that they walk with that will make the journey even more precious than if they had done it on their own. And I thank you, Father, that in this small area of whatever body parts we are, whether we're a knee and we're all parts of a knee, or whether we're the stomach and parts of the stomach, I don't know what part relationship church is. I thank you that we're becoming pure and white. Let me read to you a verse if I can find it fast enough. Hey, I'm just going to do it from memory. In Revelation, I believe it's 21, which is such a confusing book. John said, I'm paraphrasing, coming out of heaven, I see a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven. And has all these jewels and foundations. And it's just a grand and glorious city where the presence of God and the believers are going to believe. That's all right. You go back and look at it, and he goes, this is the holy bride of Jesus Christ. It's a lot of poetic language there. I don't think it's literal per se. That's what we're building today. Not next week, today. When we walk with people and they hold us accountable, not in a legalistic way, but for our destiny. Pray over to Chuck, you know, and say, Chuck, you know, if I say something to him, he say something to me. He knows we've been around for so long. He knows I'm not doing it, get on him. He knows I want to see him get to where he's going, and vice versa. That's building the New Jerusalem now. That's what Abraham, when he left the Ur of Chaldees, he was in the greatest city on earth. I don't have time to go into it. This dude was rich. I mean, wealthy beyond your imagination. In the greatest city on earth. And he left it saying, I'm looking for a city made by God. He never inhabited a city because it's not a literal city. It's a people that's talking about the bride of Christ that's coming, that's crosses national boundaries. Father, I just thank you. I bless them. I pray for connection with you first and then connection with others if they're not in that kind of thing. And if they are, strengthen them. Strengthen their marriages. Strengthen their parental bonds. And we just send you out in Jesus' name. If you need prayer in any certain area or agreement on something, we'll be over here in the anointed corner over here. And we'll pray with you. Otherwise, just be blessed.